from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. Travel with a third-generation travel icon, Linda Perillo. The Fox News Medical All-Stars featuring Dr. Mark Siegel, Dr. Marty McCary, Dr. Jeanette Nishwat, and the OG, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Legal analysis from former prosecutor and court journalism superstar Imran Ansari and Christine Nicholas. The quintessential heartbeat to New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York. Now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
Well, Kevin McCullough, welcoming you into another edition. I have to tell you, it is a rather unique thing that we are observing the passing of one O.J. Simpson. On the same day of the week where sometimes I like to take a deep dive into legal things. I wouldn't have thought two seconds about it, that this would have been the likely day that OJ would have died. But it is, I find it intriguing because if there was ever a person that I think embodied in this life, and who knows about his afterlife and where he's going or anything else, but in this life, there's never been a greater example of someone who shot to stardom, had every trapping of fame, had every trapping of success, had all the money and women and fame and influence and, you know, luxury that the human life could afford. And then to, in his kind of most fateful chapters of his life, closer to the end than the beginning, experience what he did and go down the path that he did. Now, we all remember, of course, that O.J. Simpson was not convicted by the jury of his peers. We remember the incredible lineup of dream team attorneys that he had sitting, you know, to his left at that defense table. You had Robert Kardashian, you had Alan Dershowitz, you had Johnny Cochran, you had people whose entire, you know, lifetime of fame became, you know, connected to the ability for him to be cleared of this criminal charge. You remember Johnny Cochran holding up the glove, and they tried to get OJ to put it on. This is the glove that was supposedly soaked with Nicole Simpson's blood. But today, the former NFL running back passed away at 76. He had cancer, they said. And the family, of course, understandably, is asking for privacy and respect and quiet. It's hard to summarize how he's going to be remembered, right? So he's widely recognized as this legendary running back for the Buffalo Bills, maybe the greatest of his era, maybe one of the greatest of all times. When he's done with that, he became the consummate pitchman before there was ever a Michael Jordan or, you know, pick your favorite, you know, sports celebrity endorser. He was a movie star. He did, guest cameos on TV shows all over the place. And yet probably what he will probably most be remembered for is being found civilly liable for the deaths of his ex-wife and her friend. And to this day, the Goldmans, the Ronald Goldman's parents, completely adhere to the idea that the only reason he wasn't found criminally guilty was because of the dream team that he had hired and the legal expertise with which they were able to maneuver and cast doubt on certain pieces of the evidence's claims. It was dubbed the trial of the century. It received international press attention. You'll never forget. You'll never forget where you were when that white Bronco began being tracked down the, what was it, the 405? As it, you know, drove and drove and drove and drove, and the whole country watched OJ, you know, duck down in the back seat of the white Bronco as the police were trying to bring him in. It ended on October 3rd, 1995. He was acquitted of the murders. The acquittal came 9 months after the trial began, about 16 months after the murders had taken place. And then he was found civilly liable, responsible for the deaths. But in the civil trial, you don't have the same kind of strict rules and standards. So his supporters would say, well, they couldn't prove the case criminally, so civilly was what they got. And there's some truth to that. He also got arrested, you may not remember this, for robbing two sports memorabilia collectors at gunpoint in 2007 in Las Vegas because they had some of his stuff and he wanted it back. He said during that trial that he only wanted to take back personal items and family photos that had been taken from him after the 1995 acquittal. He was convicted for armed robbery, sentenced to 33 years, along with a minimum of 9 years before he was eligible for parole. 9 years later, he was released. And that would have been 2017. Played 11 years in the NFL. Selected as the number one overall pick. Also played for the 49ers at one point, but he was really remembered for being a Buffalo Bill. But it's just interesting that the study of a person's life who at one point in time has everything, literally everything the world can possibly throw at him. Fame, wealth, recognition. As I said, women, and there weren't just one. And yet, the bottom line he'll probably be remembered for is his worst moment in taking the life of his ex-wife, her boyfriend at the time, and the torture that this trial put through the country. You know, to some degree, this was one of those pinpoints where race was brought up, and I feel like unjustly. It had nothing to do with whether or not OJ was a black man. It had to do with whether or not he killed his ex-wife. But bottom line, everyone that had a connection to that case got famous, got to use that fame for other things. The detective went on to be, you know, a Law and Order pundit for the networks. The prosecutors went on to be, you know, big shots in the legal realm. Obviously, all of his attorneys were already well-known, but they became even more well-known. I mean, you really knew who the Kardashians were after the OJ trial. But here we are, a number of years later, and OJ Simpson no longer with us. And it's hard to understand how to really reflect upon this life and what it meant as O.J. Simpson is now no longer here. All right, Kevin McCullough, when we come back, kind of a special treat for legal night tonight. We've got Jack Cittarelli from New Jersey over a big announcement he just made. And a little bit later on, a legal issue that you've probably not given much thought to with a very special guest. I'm Kevin McCullough. Stay right here.
Hey, Hello, this is John Leventhal. I am a partner in the law firm of Idala, Bertuna & Kamens. I have been a lawyer for 43 years, including 13 years as a trial judge and 13 years as an appellate judge. I have presided over almost every kind of civil and criminal case, and I have seen litigants facing almost every legal problem you can imagine. What is the most important thing for a litigant to do? It is to obtain the right lawyer, someone with the ability to navigate you through the court system and achieve the best possible outcome. At Idala, Bertuna & Kamens, that is what we offer. When I was on the bench, Idala, Bertuna & Kamens earned the reputation of being the boutique law firm that fights passionately for their clients in the most professional manner in both civil and criminal cases. I am proud to be a member of the Idala, Bertuna & Kamens law firm, where our lawyers will give you the powerful representation you all deserve.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Thank you so much for those of you giving to an annual attempt to help feed those who are hungry with our partners at Food for the Poor. Here from Food for the Poor is my good friend Anitra Parmalee.
I want to take you with me to a village in Guatemala. We're standing in front of a home, a mother, her children, and the little boy whispers to the mom. And when the translator says, he just asked his mom if he could go to work with his dad. We're talking about working backbreaking labor in the fields. And his explanation for why he wanted to work was because his four-year-old sister was not getting enough food. And he wanted to make sure that she and her body was restored. That's the story, one of the many stories on the other side of your gift. You can honor Kevin's willingness to sacrifice for his sister by giving a generous gift to rescue not only Kevin, but also his sister with food for a year. Will you make your best gift right now, knowing you can transform the lives of children whose faces you may never see this side of heaven?
And for the next 10 minutes, friends, every gift that you give is going to be doubled. 855-907-4673. Twice as many children will be fed because you give the gift right now. 855-907-4673. Do it within the next 10 minutes to make sure it qualifies for the matching challenge, but do it right now. Friends, every gift you give right now is going to double in value, and that means that we're going to feed twice as many children because you gave the gift at this time. 855-919-4673 or go online to am970theanswer.com. So please call the number or go online right now.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. am970theanswer.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Eric Metaxas says it has happened quickly.
What Biden is overseeing, and again, we know that he's a husk of a man. He seems to have sold his soul to the devil so that he could appear to be president, but that there are people running things. The speed and the wickedness of what he has been able to accomplish in 3 years to weaken America, to destroy our foundations, it's a staggering thing.
The Eric Metaxas Show, weeknights at 11 on AM 970, The Answer.
Our hosts tell it like it is. No safe spaces here. AM 970, The Answer.
Ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
It's Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right. For my next guest, the last time that I spoke with him in a serious way, we've seen each other only casually in a couple of instances since then, but was to an election night 3 years ago when the race for the governorship of New Jersey came down to a late night count. There were some ballot counts that seemed to go up overnight, particularly in Bergen County. And it turned out that Jack Cittarelli would not be the governor of New Jersey. But is that about to change? Well, some people gathered this week to affirm that he is their choice. And he has made that announcement that he is now seeking that seat again. And I am very honored to have Jack Cittarelli rejoin us here at the Kevin McCullough microphone. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me. Looking forward to it.
I remember that night. I was there doing reports, and the votes, it looked like it was going to be a good night for you. I don't know exactly what happened in the overnight, particularly in the Bergen County count, but came up just a little bit short. And since we did, what has happened to the state that you wanted to represent?
Unfortunately, nothing, Kevin. We still have the worst property taxes in the nation. It's still ranked as the worst state in the country in which to do business because of taxes and regulations. You know, this is the most difficult state in which to retire. It's one reason why we have an out-migration of our seniors. And we've got a school system that, yes, has pockets of success here and there, but overall is failing our students. We have way too many students that are graduating that are below grade level with their reading and math skills. People that aren't ready for careers if they're not going to college. And so one thing I'm determined to do is let's stop saying New Jersey has the best school system in the country. It's one of the most expensive. And right now there's not a whole lot of value in way too many communities. So those are the issues: property taxes, business climate, the ability to retire here, and then of course improving our public education system.
It is a very interesting comparison because We've had now Governor Murphy for the length of time that he's been there. And on more than one occasion, there have been natural disasters, you know, disasters of weather and other things that he has been caught out of town on. And can't blame him entirely for that. But at times there seemed to be kind of this, well, I don't really need to be back there right now. It's kind of a hands-off type of governor in many instances, Jack. I know that following your Twitter, now X account for the last number of years, that really bothered you. As a native New Jerseyan who spent your entire life here, all the way from childhood, that really hit home for you.
It really did. And when you make statements like, make New Jersey the California of the East Coast, it only infuriates you all the more. The Murphys are not originally from New Jersey. They don't seem to understand New Jersey. And you know, Kevin, you used words there, hands off. It's funny you say that because throughout my speeches, I talk about the need for a hands-on CEO.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we need, a hands-on CEO to run this state government and have it do what it's supposed to do to the benefit of New Jerseyans. And he is so hands-off, as is his administration. That's why it's been so non-responsive in so many different ways to the needs of the people of New Jersey. So I think that's one of the things that differentiates me. I've been a two-time successful business owner, and I've got a very hands-on style. I'm not a micromanager, because if you're micromanaging, that means you've hired the wrong people. But I am hands-on, and I will be in terms of carrying out our agenda.
Let's talk about that in some tangible ways that the people are dealing with right now, and it really hits home for them. Obviously, New Jersey is the most populous state in the country. Per capita, there are more people here than anywhere else. It is a it has been in years past a robust state where you had lots of entrepreneurial businesses, business owners that loved being here, loved being in proximity to Philadelphia and New York and having kind of an access to build and grow and yet not succumb to complete, you know, urban sprawl. But since the COVID pandemic, and really to some degree even starting before it, you started to see massive numbers of large businesses leave the state of New Jersey. If you're the governor, what can you do pragmatically, whether you have an assembly and a Senate that is with you or not, what can you do pragmatically that begins to say to businesses, we want you to be here, we want you to come back, we want you to start your business in New Jersey?
First and foremost, we'll make it clear that I am pro-business. If you notice, when Murphy talks in his State of the State or his State of the Budget Address, rather, you never hear him talk about being pro-business. You never hear his administration talk about being pro-business. So that's a very important message that the business community needs to hear. And the other thing we need to do is what the Democratic mayor, the Democratic governor, rather, of Pennsylvania did. He cut the corporate business tax in half from 10 to 5% because he was losing business to Ohio, which has a business tax rate.
Right.
So we need to cut New Jersey's highest in the nation business tax in half. And we can do that in a very fiscally responsible way. The other thing we need to do is lessen our regulations. And I believe, Kevin, we could do that without screwing the consumer or hurting the environment. And those kinds of things would immediately send the right message to the business community. I know you know this, Kevin, but back in the 1970s, New Jersey had more Fortune 500 companies headquartered here than any other state in the country. That's not the case today. And what I just found so insulting recently is a big company, a very large company, moved from New Providence. Murphy administration celebrated that like they came here from Tennessee with 5,000 jobs. I mean, what are we celebrating? I'm glad they stayed, okay? But if you're the mayor of New Providence, you're not real happy right now. You've got an 80-acre campus that no longer has a tenant in it. But this is the Murphy administration, right? We're celebrating a company moving from one town to the next instead of celebrating companies moving here from other states.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll say, Kevin, is we really need to declare an economic war on Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New York. I mean, right now, in a number of different ways, they're eating our lunch when it comes to attracting, recruiting, and retaining businesses.
Well, there have been successful governors in the states in recent years that have done just that, and they have been able to, even since the pandemic, jumpstart their state economies. And it seems to me if you have a ship as big as New Jersey, it tends to steer slowly. We need something exciting that will attract and begin that process. Let me ask you this question in particular, because the tax issue is going to continue to come up. Murphy was famous in his first term for even trying to tax the rain that fell on someone's driveway. And as someone who woke up this morning with a wet driveway, I wasn't really pleased with that at the time that he proposed it. But what is your approach to the current tax structure and what you perceive to be would be the opportunity to change that tax structure once the Cittarelli administration is in office?
Kevin, no governor has had a better opportunity fix the long-standing permanent problems of New Jersey, like property taxes, school funding, and the business climate than Governor Murphy. That budget is up $20 billion in less than 7 years' time. It's gone from $36 billion to $56 billion. It's all been squandered away.
Hold that thought right there, Jack. It's Kevin McCullough. Glad to have you with us. Per usual, on Thursday, we like to look at legal items. Nothing gets more legal than electing a governor. Back with Jack Cittarelli after this.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. I'd like to introduce you to the premier business in the investigative and security field in the United States today, Brosnan Risk Consultants, founded by my friend Pat Brosnan, decorated retired NYPD detective. You must be diligent in protecting the business you work so hard to grow, family you cherish, and the lifestyle you've achieved. Luckily, there is Brosnan Risk Consultants to keep your business healthy, keep your family safe, and identify the approaching rising tide of danger and loss well before it destroys what you have built. Brosnan Risk Consultants have been protecting clients for over 25 years, operational in 45 states and over 500 cities. Don't settle for second best. Brosnan is the gold standard in investigative and security services. Call now 800-590-2180 or go online to brosnanrisk.com. B-R-O-S-N-A-N risk.com.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka here, inviting you to join me and Mike Gallagher on the Patriots Alaska Cruise this 4th of July weekend. Reserve your cabin today. Call 855-565-5519 or book online at patriotsalaskacruise.com.
Grubhub Holdings Incorporated seeks a manager of engineering in New York, New York to manage a team of software engineers. This position supervises 6 employees, 100% telecommuting permitted within MSA. $262,700 to $296,500 per year. Apply at jobpostingtoday.com. Reference 20187. Again, Grubhub Holdings Incorporated seeks a manager of engineering in New York, New York to manage a team of software engineers. Apply at jobpostingtoday.com. Reference 20187.
AM 970, The Answer doesn't have to stop when you turn off your radio. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter or Instagram. Download the app. Just search AM 970, The Answer. Take us with you wherever you go.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
You know, the boys this summer are back at it, and Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey means it's time for their Grand Slam event. Our friend Alex Kinsella is a big baseball fan. He's celebrating the season with the best offers of the year, like zero down leases on all your favorite Toyota models. 1.99% APR financing for up to 72 months. At Route 22 Toyota, they're offering unbelievable lease deals starting at just $79 a month on some of your favorite Toyota models. Call them today, 973-705-8905, and have Alex's team show you how easy it is to get into a new Toyota during their Grand Slam event. Again, that's 973-705-8905. You speak with someone from Route 22 Toyota about your favorite Toyota model, and remember, everybody drives thanks to their goal for 100% credit approval during their Grand Slam event from Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey. Tell them Joe sent you.
Offers end April 30th, subject to primary lender approval. Leasing and financing on select new Toyota models through TFS, not all buyers will qualify. Call or visit Route22Toyota.com for details.
Hi, it's Kevin McCullough. Join our sister station, WMCA, for the upcoming Pastors Appreciation Breakfast and Ministry Exhibition to give back to the hardworking pastors and ministry leaders of the tri-state area. Friday, May 24th at the Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn. Invite your pastor. The Pastors Appreciation Breakfast will include a delicious breakfast from DR Catering, fellowship, and a radio broadcast featuring yours truly. Enjoy music led by the CCC worship leaders and get gift bags, ministry awards, and an empowering keynote address from visionary pastor Ahar Bernard. This is a unique opportunity to come together as church and ministry leaders to inspire one another to press on. WMCA thanks you for your faithfulness to the calling, so don't miss this opportunity for encouragement. Pastors and ministry leaders, the event is free for you and your guests, but you must register. For more information or to reserve your tickets, go to WMCA.com. The Pastors Appreciation Breakfast is sponsored by Buttafuoco & Associates, PLLC, and the Historical Bible Society.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Hi, Kevin McCullough, and we continue with my conversation with Jack Cittarelli off of the big announcement that he's running for governor a second time. Governor, I just have a couple of other things I want to touch on because I feel like this we're in an election year that's going to precede your election year. And you've already been out on the trail, appearing at events with candidates, helping people get the message out. But the nation is in a crisis right now that I think all of elected offices are going to have an opportunity to impact. And when you look at the congressional seat in District 5, when you look at the U.S. Senate seat, and the opportunities that New Jersey has to take a different direction. Let me ask you specifically, how important is it that if you are to be governor, elected governor in 25, that you have a U.S. senator that is from your party, that you have a congressional delegation from your party on issues like illegal immigration and the issues of crime and other things that brings with it into the state that you would ultimately manage?
It's critically important, Kevin, and I do believe that the people of New Jersey have had it. They've seen what's gone on with people like Bob Menendez and most recently the governor's wife, who was seeking the U.S. Senate seat. And so what I say to people is, if you want change, you got to make a change. It's time to elect a Republican congressperson in Congressional District 5, and Mary Jo Windis is a great candidate, and I'm really excited about this year's U.S. Senate race. That primary is yet to be settled, but we've got some great candidates, and it would be for the first time in 50 years, a Republican U.S. senator from New Jersey. That's been way too long, but let's make that happen.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited. But, you know, at the end of the day, the presidential wins will dictate a lot of what goes on. And I'm convinced that Donald Trump is the next president of the United States because people believe what they see. They may not believe everything they read. They may not believe everything they hear, but they believe what they see. And here's what they see. They see what's going on the border. They see the lawlessness in the community. They see the price of groceries. They see a president that's too old for the job. And they see a vice president that's unqualified for the job. And those are the reasons why I believe Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States.
Well, it's going to be interesting. And the battles are going to be hard fought, especially even between now and this year's election, and being stuck with kind of the delegations that we have. But let me just ask you from a gubernatorial perspective, what could you do if you were governor today to, say, take on the increase in crime that we've seen from the last 3 years and the problems that illegal immigration has brought to New Jersey? Because there are deteriorating, long-lasting effects from the bringing in of more and more people.
First thing I can do through the National Governors Association is rally the other governors to support Governor Abbott in what's going on along the border there between Texas and Mexico. Because if we allow it to continue, we are all border states. And you see what's going on in places like New York City, which in the beginning was all open arms about all of these asylum seekers and illegal immigrants. And now all of a sudden they're changing their tune because of all the fiscal burdens that have come along with it and the lawlessness. So I've got to rally the other governors to be supportive of Governor Abbott. The other thing that I'll do as governor is we will not have sanctuary cities, nor will we be a sanctuary state here in New Jersey that only encourages illegal immigration. And I'm never going to forbid any local law enforcement agency from working with federal agencies when they have arrested someone who is here illegally that has committed a crime. And the last thing we need to do, Kevin, and I will, on day one, we will have an attorney general that supports the law enforcement community. Right now, we do not. And it's demoralizing for people whose job has never been harder.
Yeah.
The men and women in blue need to know that the number one law enforcement officer in this state, the attorney general, has their back. That's not the way they feel right now. That'll change when I'm governor.
Jack Cittarelli, final minute. Just give us a little taste of who you are for people that have never heard your story. Where'd you grow up and why do you want to be governor?
I'm a Jersey guy. The Cittarellis have been here for 100 years. My grandparents came to New Jersey to provide for their family. They started their own business. My parents did the very same, owning a restaurant bar as a two-time successful business owner. I followed in their footsteps. I never even left the state to go to college, MBA, CPA from Seton Hall University. And this is my final destination, Kevin. It's home, always has been, always will be. I don't want to be congressman. I don't want to be U.S. senator. Don't want to be president. Don't want to write a book. Just want to fix the state we all love. So I'm excited about the race. We came real close last time. We know what we need to do a little better, and we won't be dealing with a pandemic. It's awfully hard to get out and shake hands when your governor has shut down the place and ordered a shelter-in-place order.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about this time around, and I sense the energy out there. So I'm really looking forward to the next year and a half and delivering a victory here for New Jersey.
Well, Jack, you and I will be speaking often over the next couple of years. I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Kevin, thank you, buddy.
You got it. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away.
My name is Imran Ansari, and I lead the Civil Litigation Division of Idala, Bertuna & Kamins, the preeminent New York litigation law firm. The tires screech, the impact is felt. Boom, you've just been in a car accident. It's a scary situation that none of us want to experience. But if you have been injured in a car accident, then you may be entitled to significant monetary compensation for your injuries. It's important you speak to an attorney right away to make sure your rights are protected. Myself and our team of experienced trial attorneys will never settle for less than what you deserve. We are always ready to go to court to fight for you and seek justice. So if you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, don't delay. Call Idala Bertuna and Kamin at 212-486-0011. That's 212-486-0011. Or visit us on the web at idalalaw.com. idalalaw.com. Idala Bertuna and Kamins, fighting for justice, fighting for you.
This is Joe Piscopo. The following is a medical minute sponsored by my friends at InfuCareRx. InfuCareRx.com. Improving quality of life one patient at a time. Here is this week's Medical Minute with Dr. Neil Nandy of the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania.
IBD, or inflammatory bowel diseases, represent a spectrum of intestinal illnesses known as Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. This is where the immune system attacks and inflames the intestine, causing ulcers that prevent the absorption of nutrition, which may lead to the onset of diarrhea, abdominal pain, and sometimes weight loss. Ulcerative colitis affects the colon only, whereas Crohn's disease can affect the rest of the small or upper intestine.
This Medical Minute is sponsored by InfuCareRx, and the information, comments, or views expressed by the guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of InfuCareRx. Please consult your medical professional for any medical questions, opinions, or guidance.
The only station in New York that doesn't hold back. AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hugh Hewitt doesn't think the world is intimidated.
Today, Biden is going to warn Beijing against meddling in South China Sea. Yeah, you think that Xi Jinping cares what Biden says after this? Seth Mandel wrote, Hamas concessions are distorting our Mideast policy, and Seth is right. But they're doing much more than that. They're distorting the whole world. Every bad guy in the world knows we're just completely led by an infirm old man who doesn't know what's going on.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weekday mornings at 3, right before Joe Piscopo at 6 on AM 970. The Answer.
We are proud. Proud to serve. To serve our country. To serve our local communities. To wear the uniform. To be a soldier. To serve abroad when and where duty calls. We are ready to stand with our brothers and sisters to defend, to serve, to fight. We're always ready. We're always there. We are the New York Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the New York Army National Guard.
It's getting harder and harder to make sense out of today's headlines. To stay on top of breaking world and national news with a Christian worldview and a faith-based perspective on what it means, turn to ChristianHeadlines.com. Log on to ChristianHeadlines.com for the very latest news, and then sign up for our free daily newsletter to stay one step ahead of what's happening. Get out of the mainstream media rut with top news and positive headlines every day with ChristianHeadlines.com.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekday afternoons at 3 and evenings at 10 on AM 970. The Answer. And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
So glad to have you back on the legal edition of the Thursday show here. Kevin McCullough, glad to be with you. We take a look at different slices of the legal pie from time to time. So it's good to talk to the man who wants to be governor, and we'll continue that conversation with him down the road. But I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, because as we have been talking to you in recent days, and Kelsey Bowler has been with me, and we have talked and discussed about the different things that she traces. The issue of incarceration and how people are treated when they are incarcerated is something that a lot of the world ignores, but I think we do so to our peril. And my next guest is actually from Kelsey's newest work called Cruel and Unusual Punishment. It's a series of documentary films that is examining what is going on in one prison system in the country, but really doing so from the perspective that it might move to other states, because there's been a push for it. And in the tri-state area, it is not far off. Let me just put it that way. So my next guest, and Amy, I'm gonna just butcher your last name, but is Amy Ichikawa. Did I say that right?
Almost. It's Ichikawa.
Ichikawa, okay. And Amy was an incarcerated inmate in a prison. Amy, I'm going to have you tell your story a little bit. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So where does your story start?
It starts in 2009 in the mean streets of Long Beach. You know, I the economy was horrible. I'm not trying to, downplay the severity of the commission of my crime, but I got involved in selling drugs, and had a really bad drug deal gone wrong that resulted in a kidnapping, and I ended up serving 5 years in a California state prison. I got real lucky, very blessed, because everyone I met inside with similar situations is still there. And
wow.
Yeah.
So and this was the first time you had been in this level of incarceration?
That's correct. First time I had been arrested, pulled over, or anything.
And what happened when once you were in the prison, the women's prison there?
Once I was in the prison, it was very similar to like walking into hell because it's so hot up there. I think it was about 115 when I got off the bus that day. And it's totally new. It's completely foreign to me. So it was pretty scary. And the first 2-3 years were pretty scary. But you learn the ropes, and the culture inside women's prison is very different from what you would see on TV or what you would assume based on men's prison. Women tend to make families, they nest, they cook together, they pray together. It's very, very different from what you would.
There's a lot of actual spiritual regeneration and seeking and trying to get life straightened out, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so in this context, what does the state of California start doing?
In the state of California in 2021 implemented the Respect Agency and the Transgender Respect Agency and Dignity Act, which allows for anyone to use a gender self-ID to transfer to the prison of their preferred gender, their self-declared gender. There was one person who transferred. Actually, there's two. One already paroled, and one actually came back because she said it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. It was actually more catty over there than it was at the women's prison. So it's not beneficial to anybody except
right. I was being a little facetious, but the point is that men started infiltrating the prison that you were at.
Yes, they did. The first busload was full of people that women have described as football players with boobs.
And how did this impact your situation?
Well, this was occurring at the same time I was trying to establish my nonprofit, and I had to completely shift gears because I was getting hundreds of messages via email and regular mail, phone calls from people I had never met before, asking for help, crying, just feeling extremely abandoned and in complete disbelief that there were actually, serial rapists that were transferring in and they were being forced to live with them.
And the state of California just is nonplussed by this. They don't have any sense of urgency or need to change it.
Not too much. I did actually take a trip to the Capitol last week, and surprisingly, people were pretty responsive. They are saying they didn't know. I don't really understand how a legislator couldn't know unless they're just not reading the bills that they vote for. But I'm going to give them that. Just going to continue informing them and ask them to make some amendments to.
So what is happening with the men? What are the men doing when they are incarcerated with the women?
They're having the time of their lives. They're nobody's rehabilitating at this point. There's several pregnancies, rapes, consensual sex, which is not permitted either. There's a huge power imbalance. They're able to get women moved out of their cells. They have a lot of control there. The staff is afraid to discipline them or make any notices of anything that they're doing because they're afraid of lawsuits, because these people are represented by very high-powered attorneys.
And the women that are there are just stuck being victims.
Yes, they are, because they can't. If they speak up and out, they usually get retaliated.
Retribution
against
within the system. Yeah,
really,
that's where the dudes bring the dude prison with them. This argument is it's getting tiresome, but it's one that we have to have. Men and women are different. They think differently. They feel differently. They have a different hormonal makeup. They do different things. Amy, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you like to see happen in your circumstance?
I would love to see the guardrails and the safety net that was promised to these women before the law was implemented to be put in place.
And how can my listeners be in contact with your organization?
They can visit my website. It's www.womaniiwoman.org and learn how they can help us and stay updated on the current conditions inside. Right.
We're going to have you back. Amy, I just appreciate your coming on. It's woman, all one word, .org. Amy, I so appreciate you being with us. Woman, so think of like the Roman numeral two, woman to woman, but with two I's in the middle, woman.org for more info. Kevin McCullough coming right back from New York. Stay here.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, Vice Chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best. Period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970 The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970 The Answer.
Thank you so much for those of you giving to our effort with Food for the Poor to try to feed those who are hungry in the 17 poorest countries here in the Western Hemisphere. And why there? Because that's where Food for the Poor works. Anitra Parmali is back with us from Food for the Poor. And Anitra, Food for the Poor has been doing this a long time.
We have for over four decades. And so we've perfected the lack of friction on your gift. We want to commit to you that your money is going to do the most good for a mother like Isabel. Isabel has only one prayer. She has done everything to try and feed her children, but it has been fruitless. She's unable to work. The price of food is skyrocketing. When your gift is communicated to her, when Isabel discovers that the weight of fear can roll off her back, I mean, it makes the hair on my neck stand up just to recognize the 180. Right now, a mother has no idea that you're about to say yes and decide to step into her life and the lives of her children with hope and with food for a year and a future. That's on the other side of your generous gift right now.
Can you be as generous as you can right now, friend? Isabel and other moms like her are going to find it incredibly encouraging that someone answered their prayer directly. Here's the phone number, 855-919-4673, 855-919-4673. And every gift you give right now will be matched. So twice as many children will be fed, twice as many mothers will be helped because you gave your gift right now. 855-919-4673, or go online to am970theanswer.com.
Did you listen to our podcasts? Hear them now on our website at am970theanswer.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Brandon Tatum is next on AM970 The Answer. Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. I was just thinking, you know, in terms of legality, this story is very interesting to me. You know who Kristi Noem is? She's the governor for South Carolina. Fairly conservative, big Trump supporter, has been vocal about things like women, you know, men and women's sports, etc. Well, she has just been banned from about 10% of the total state that she governs. How did that happen? Well, on Tuesday, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Council, which is a Native American group, voted to ban Noem from areas under its control. And you combine that with the bans from the Ogallala Sioux Tribe in February and the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe last week. The Republican governor is now banned from approximately one-tenth of the entire state that she governs as governor. This is according to the news outlet, The Daily Beast. The banishment came in response to remarks that Noam made about Native Americans of the state, accusing tribal leaders of not doing enough to expunge the influence of drug cartels. Governor Noam's wild and irresponsible attempt to connect tribal leaders and parents with Mexican drug cartels is a sad reflection of her fear-based politics that do nothing to bring people together to solve problems, said chairwoman of one of the Sioux tribes, Janet Alcure. Now, if that was the only statement, I would say, you know, that's an interesting thought. But that's not the only thing that the tribes are doing. What are they really after? Well, the chairwoman continues. She goes, rather than make uninformed and unsubstantiated claims, which I don't know if Noam's claims were unsubstantiated, and I don't know if they were uninformed. The cartels have a huge influence, and it is my understanding that they have influence with the Native American tribes in multiple ways here in the States. Now, whether that's just hearsay or not, I'll let Christy Noam, you know, explain her own comments. But it's not like the discussion of it is not out there and ongoing. Anyway, this chairwoman says instead of making those claims, she should work together with tribal leaders. Why? To increase funding and resources for tribal law enforcement and education. Of course. We're mad that the woman who runs the state said something about potentially bad behavior amongst our people, and what we want to do is get paid off for it. That's what they want. They're complaining that they need more funding for their own law enforcement. The tribes have set it up so that they believe that they should have the right to have their own police force and have their own, you know, discussion of right and wrong and adjudication, all the rest of it. It's a completely separate legal system. But they want Christy Noam to fork over cash to fund it. So if she says something negative about potentially cartels using tribespeople for drug running, again, not a new conversation. This has been happening for years. I just think it's very ironic. And that's where... So you have a governor that literally can't step foot in 10% of her own state. Kevin McCullough, we'll see you next time.